You are locked into the Philadelphia Eagles. What's going on, everybody? This is Louis DiBiase, host of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Well, co-host, because in studio today alongside myself, we've got Gino Camilleri on the line for this Tuesday edition of the show. Gino, how are you, man? We got some big news to get into for segment one with the lead story.
We're here. There's some big news. There are going to be a lot of cuts around the NFL coming up, so it's an exciting time, and we're less than 2 weeks away from actual football.
So the big lead story we got to get into, of course, the big ticket item of the show today is going to be, I put together the 53-man roster with cutdowns coming later this week, early next week, as the Eagles take on the infamous Week 4 preseason game, the New York Jets, and then they got to get from 90 to 53. So I put together my 53, and it definitely was tough to do. I was at like 56, 57 players, and right then and there, I'm like, oh man, it's going to be tough to cut four of these guys. So I'll get your reactions. I'll lay it out and see where you decipher on offense, defense, and special teams as well. But there's two big stories that dropped today, and one is more of an actual story than the other one. But the big one I got to get into right now with you is Jadeveon Clowney. So the rumors have been swirling for months now that the Houston Texans plan on moving the former number one overall pick, one of the most talented defensive ends you'll see. The production has been somewhat there. You haven't seen the huge year yet from Clowney, but you've certainly seen production on the edge for the 26-year-old. Well, according to the Houston Chronicle today, Jadeveon Clowney prefers the Seattle Seahawks or the Philadelphia Eagles. The Miami Dolphins are also pushing very hard to land Clowney. He actually did meet with Dolphins head coach Brian Flores. But it's interesting, Gino, he mentioned the Seahawks and the Eagles, which tells me either the Eagles have inquired, who knows if they're actually extremely interested, but either they have inquired or, you know, Clowney's new agent is pushing this out there to garner interest from other teams. But the Eagles were mentioned directly. This, it could be interesting, man. Buckle up.
It's one of those things that he wants to play for a contender, clearly, after what you see from the teams that he wants to go to. Excuse me. Miami clearly doesn't make any sense to me because they're in a fresh rebuild, and for a guy that you can't even sign to a long-term deal until next offseason, acquiring a guy that's going to take, they're saying, a second-round pick is going to be the minimum. Doesn't make sense for a rebuilding franchise. You want as many picks as you can. So I'm going to count Miami out of this. I really don't see them being the option. But for a team that's looking for an edge rusher that is right around the middle of the pack contract-wise right now in his fifth-year option, I mean, actually in the franchise that he's going to have to sign to come here, it's well worth the investment, in my opinion. He's a game-changer, Lou. He's one of those guys that you can win because of. And there was a reason he was the number one overall pick. There was a reason he was one of the highly touted-est recruits out of high school. And there's a reason that he's just a freak of nature on the football field, and he just produces every level that he's played at. And I'm not even going to knock his production because he's playing outside linebacker in Houston. He dropped into coverage a lot of the time. If he comes to Philly a lot, like guys like Tim Jernigan, they would get back to that normal position that they played, that 4-3 get after the quarterback position. And that's why you saw an uptick in production when Tim Jernigan first came here. I fully expect that out of Malik Jackson to have a big season. When you allow your front four to get after the quarterback, you're going to see increased production. And if Clowney came here, I feel like he would fit that mold very well. Jim Schwartz lives and dies by pressure with the front four, and especially guys that can get after the quarterback, have a good explosive first step. And Clowney fits that mold. And they said that they're either looking for a second-round pick. They've been mentioned for offensive linemen and a wide receiver, which makes sense. It may not make sense to some, seeing, oh, they have Will Fuller. Yeah, they have Kiki Kuti, but those guys can't stay healthy. So right now you're relying on Hopkins and a whole bunch of just mishaps right now. So you don't really know what you have there. So step in Nelson Agholor, a guy who's on the final year of his deal, a guy who can actually sign an extension. Why not ship him to Houston? Because if you believe that you can get production out of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, what you've seen so much, and you can flex Ertz and Goddard into the slot, losing a guy whose primary production comes from the slot when you have plenty of replacements for a guy that could come in here and put your pass rush over the edge seems like a worthwhile investment to me. But I wouldn't say that if you're going to trade an offensive lineman, Big V would be the way to go, because right now they love him at that guard position, and he's your next man up if one of your tackles gets hurt. So it may be the easy man to pick in, let's say, a Madden trade to move out of town for Clowney, but I wouldn't be so apt to do so. Right now, my number one guy I'm looking to move is Nelson Agholor.
Yeah, I wouldn't. So I want Clowney. I just think it's funny, first off, people think that they're just going to give Houston Wendell Smallwood and Jordan Mailata.
Like, that's the running joke now.
Frank Clark went for a first-round pick to Kansas City, and he is around the same tier as Clowney, and he needed a new contract. So for me, you're not getting away with just sending them Mailata in, like, a third-round draft pick. You're going to have to give up a second-round pick at least, and either Nelson Agholor or Big V. And I would consider that even if he is just a rental, because Big V and or Agholor could also be rentals, and the comp pick you would get back when he signs that mega deal next year that you see pass rushers get. I mean, even you look at Flowers in Detroit get the biggest deal of a defensive end this offseason, you'll get a pick back, so that second-round pick really won't be that big a deal that you're going to lose. So I would do it in that sense, but if I'm going to consider giving up more, I would like to see a long-term deal at least be done verbally, or both sides being very interested, because he would be a long-term piece here. But at the same time, I'm not all in on Clowney as others, mainly just because I love what the defensive line already has with Derek Barnett, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, Tim Jernigan, Vinnie Curry. The rotation isn't going to be as common this year. Part of why they traded Michael Bennett was for that reason, and the belief in Derek Barnett. So I guess a lot of it about Clowney, too, depends on how much you believe in Derek Barnett. And for me, I think a breakout third year is coming. So again, like, I would love Clowney. If they trade for him and they can make it work money-wise, I'm all in. But at the same time, I would understand why the Eagles wouldn't want to do it based on the personnel they already have, the rotation reducing this year, the belief in Derek Barnett, not to mention the money you'd have to give Clowney, and the compensation to Houston. So I kind of go back and forth, Gino. I would like, I mean, either way, I'm not going to really freak out. I'm kind of sitting on the fence here. But, you know, I would understand why the Eagles wouldn't want to do it at the same time. I could definitely see a team like Seattle being much more aggressive, considering Collier is hurt, their first-round pick out of TCU, and they lost Frank Clark. So that's kind of my stance on this right now.
Yeah, I was absolutely going to say that you have to get into the compensation realm as well. And Seattle has a boatload of draft picks after moving Clark out of town. So I could see that being the route that they're going to go. But if you look at it, the Eagles have the depth. The Seahawks have the picks.
Right.
What does Houston prefer there? Do they want a player like Nelson Agholor? Do they want a lineman like Big V or Jordan Mailata? Or do they want a second-round pick? Say, hey, this year, pretty good pass rush class, pretty good edge class. Can we get a guy in the second round that, hey, maybe he can be that second guy to J.J. Watt? Because the thing about Clowney is he's still the second-best pass rusher in Houston. But does he want to come to Philadelphia and arguably be the top edge pass rusher coupled with Fletcher Cox in the interior? Or does he want to go to Seattle, where right now he would be the number one focus and he would be getting a lot of the double teams? Because, like you said, Collier's hurt. You have Ziggy Ansah, but that pass rush wasn't what it was in the Legion of Boom days. It is much depleted. So it's, one, what is the compensation Houston is willing to allow Jadavion to go for? And two, where does he really want to go?
I guess Houston is willing to have a reasonable asking price. Mm-hmm. And again, though, I wonder what reasonable is for them. Because, again, I look at what Seattle gave, well, what Kansas City gave Seattle for Frank Clark, and I'm thinking, will a second-round pick in Agholor get it done? I think it could, especially the timing right now, whereas the Chiefs got Frank Clark more so during the draft, around draft time, whereas now it's kind of the season's right around the corner in a week, actually, and so it might be easier to convince them, hey, we'll give you a lower pick, but we can also give you a player that can help you right now. So it will be interesting to keep an eye on. The Eagles were mentioned directly from a Houston Chronicles reporter, so buckle up, guys. Who knows? This could be something that actually happens. I'll believe it when I see it. Again, I'm a little more in the middle here on my stance with Clowney, but at the same time, heck, if you have Jadavion Clowney, Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, and Brandon Graham as your front four with Derek Barnett, Vinnie Curry, and Jernigan sprinkling in, I mean, it's a great problem to have. Gino, let's move over here before we get into our 53-man roster predictions. DeSean Jackson suffered a broken left finger in practice. just limping into week one, man, against Washington, Fletcher Cox, Nigel Bradham, Brandon Brooks, Ronald Darby, now DeSean Jackson, all beat up, kind of up in the air when one of these guys, if all of them will start week one. I guess for Jackson, it's not expected to be serious, which is just absolutely wild that a broken finger is not really serious for a football player. So he should be ready for week one. But, man, the Eagles are limping in health-wise against this Redskins team in about a week and a half.
Yeah, Josina Anderson said that it should be a 3 to 4 week injury, that finger, but yeah, they are going to try and see if he can play through it. If he gets he's going to get a custom splint on that, which by all rights, it's going to be almost 2 weeks from the time of injury when they have to step into Washington. So I could see him playing through that. And Fletcher Cox, by all accounts, Doug Peterson says he expects on him being there week one. I think we're going to look at this, Lou, much like we did with the is Fletcher Cox missing OTAs a big deal argument like we had a couple years ago, and realize that a guy of his caliber doesn't really need to take preseason reps. And I think going into the aspect of veterans going to mini camp and going to these offseason workouts doesn't make that big of a difference. Look at Josh McCown. The guy was sitting on the couch a couple weeks ago, and then he comes into Philly and has an absolute stellar third preseason game. So yep. Do they really need reps? I'm going to look at Fletcher Cox being the second best defensive tackle in football, best defensive tackle, whatever given day you want to have it with him or Aaron Donald. I'm not really too concerned about him getting reps, but yeah, you want to see him healthy, Lou, but these are those injuries that you're going to take in camp. You're going to get dinged up, but they played it safe. They're not rushing guys onto the field. And after last week, it solidified to me that I really don't care about seeing preseason minutes, because look at what happened to Cam Newton. Look at what happened to Lamar Miller. These guys are still human. They still can take injuries on, even when it's, quote, fake football. They're still getting hit. They're still running around. They're still going to get injuries. So keep those guys out until week one. And even if they are a little dinged up, they still have the depth to get it done, I believe, against that Washington team.
Yeah, so it looks like Jackson will play week one. His presence alone is always a threat. There are times where DeSean Jackson only has one or two catches.
Yeah, he doesn't even need to make a catch in the game to play. Yeah, exactly. He just needs to be on the field.
His speed alone is such a dangerous threat that even if he does have a bad finger, and for catching the football, that is something that's trickier, even with that hampering him for probably the first 2 weeks of the season, I would say, again, because it's a 3 to 4 week process recovery-wise. Mm-hmm. But like you said, we're going to get a week and a half done, almost 2 weeks, by the time they do play the Redskins. So he's only going to be a week or two into the season.
And do you not think he wants to get revenge on that Redskin team?
Oh, like, yeah, 100%. So one thing I do expect, though, is even more 12 personnel ramped up over the first couple weeks.
Absolutely.
Just because with that injury, though, he isn't going to be at full strength for the first, I would say, 1 or 2 weeks. So while 12 personnel was going to be a main package of the offense, expect it even more ramped up the first few weeks while DeSean heals from this. And Jackson and Aguilar were kind of switching back and forth on who the second receiver and 12 personnel was going to be anyway. So I think you should expect, like, again, this isn't a drastic injury that's going to switch up how the offense works the first couple weeks, but 12 personnel should be something used even more. Just look, hey man, this is what we talk about, the depth and the optionality all the time. Like, it's the name of our podcast basically, but you see it being put to work right here. Thank God they have all these options, because if this was a serious injury, they still even got another guy we didn't even mention, JJ Arcega-Whiteside, behind all these receivers and tight ends.
Yeah, that's the great thing, and that's not even something that I mentioned, or maybe I did with the Nelson Aguilar, moving him out of town, is that you can now open up this optionality even more. I know when Nelson Aguilar is on the field that he's going to get his production in the slot. DeSean Jackson, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, both of those guys can play inside and out. You want to expose those skill sets that you're going to get, those favorable matchups that you're going to get with, one, the big slot wide receiver that the Eagles love to run, and that's your J.J. Arcega-Whiteside-esque build. And then you have DeSean Jackson, who, moving a guy like him into the slot is what you see when guys age in their career. Look at Golden Tate. He eventually just moved into the slot and had great production. Larry Fitzgerald eventually moved in the slot and had great production. I feel like that's DeSean Jackson's inevitable trend, is to be a slot receiver when it's all said and done. So why not open up that optionality even more and allow him to play in there? Even if, like you said, he has a splint on his finger and he doesn't play, just creating those matchups is going to be something that they can get out of him. As long as his legs are working, the Eagles are going to be in business.
All right, we're going to take a quick break right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, I broke the roster down from 90 guys to 53. It's a lot of players getting cut, Gino. We're going to get into it. I'm going to get your reactions to my roster, see if you would change anything. We'll go offense segment 2 and then defense segment 3. Guys, with the NFL season beginning next week, it means Crossover Wednesday. We'll be back right here on the Lockdown Podcast Network. For the entire regular NFL season, you will get a special episode every Wednesday as the hosts from opposing sides meet up to preview the excitement of the games happening that week. Find your favorite team wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure not to miss the NFL listeners' favorite segment, Crossover Wednesday. This show is brought to you today by DoorDash. Guys, long day at work, still stuck at the office? Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our Locked On Eagles listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15. I know me personally, whenever I'm using DoorDash, I can never stay under $15. So make sure you download the DoorDash app, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, no spaces, to get $5 off your first order of $15. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri, this is Locked On Eagles. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, this is the Locked On Eagles podcast. We are wrapping up the preseason, thank God. Eagles-Jets in just a couple days. And with that game, it's going to come with a lot of roster evaluation with players on the bubble, Gino. They got to go from 90 guys to 53. Jim Schwartz even talked about it, how, look, you just got to be real about it. They are cutting half of their team, basically, this week, getting ready for Washington. So with that, they have to cut about 37, right? I mean, they're almost cutting 40 players. I mean, that's a lot of bodies that you're getting rid of. So I went through it this morning. I got the Eagles down to 53. And let me tell you, Gino, it was tough. There's a lot of depth with this team. Let's start off with the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to go through quarterback, running back, receiver, offensive line, and tight end. You tell me where you would decipher. And with quarterback, I kept three here: Carson Wentz, Josh McCown, and Nate Sudfeld. I kept Sudfeld on the roster because you cannot put him on the PUP. Just for anyone that doesn't know how the PUP works, if a player practiced at all during the summer with the team, you cannot place him on the regular season PUP. He would have had to have been on the list in the summer, and then if he's on the PUP, they miss at least the first 6 weeks of the season. So I carried Sudfeld here on the roster also because he's not expected to miss more than the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season. So I went with Wentz, McCown, Sudfeld. I think that's pretty, it's the consensus around the league, right? Or around the team, right, Gino?
Yeah, absolutely. Thorson's going to be a practice squad candidate. Okay. He's going to slip on there. I'm not too concerned about somebody scooping him up. And Cody Kessler, hey, maybe if he could identify a blitz off the edge, he might still have a chance, but he's as good as gone. So I like the three that you went with. I think bringing McCown in here really brings stability there, especially with Sudfeld being hurt the way he is.
So running back, I went with four. A lot of people have five because, look, I get it. It's inevitable that Wendell Smallwood makes this team, but to find
don't even say that. Don't even say it.
It is, though. I mean, I'll believe it when I see it when Wendell Smallwood is not on the Eagles. But at the same time, like, for me to keep some extra linebackers, safeties, defensive ends, like defensive linemen in general, I had to find a guy that just is less valuable to this team, and that was Wendell Smallwood. So I only went with four. I went with Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders, Darren Sproles, and Corey Clement. So Smallwood is gone, Josh Adams is gone, Boston Scott is gone. Maybe you can find a way to keep one of those guys in the practice squad, maybe Scott, but Adams and Smallwood I think would get picked up by another team.
Yeah, I agree there. I'd say that Scott had a chance. His return ability really hasn't been on display as much as you would have liked to see out of him for a guy that was trying to wiggle his way on the roster. His running has looked good. He's looked patient at times, but right now you just have a very, very good stable of four backs that all deserve playing time. And the way Corey Clement has come back and his explosiveness and his vision in the last couple games has been very, very good. Miles Sanders going nowhere, of course. Jordan Howard would be the one that you would question being in a contract year, but they gave up an asset for him. And the way that he's ran, he hasn't looked bad, and he's gotten those yards for them when they needed. And Darren Sproles is going to be there because he came back on this team, not to get cut, to actually play football. So I'm right with you there. Mm-hmm. Wendell Smallwood, I think, has the best chance of the misfits there to make the team, but he's going to make a 53-man roster one way or another, especially with the state of some of these backfields. Look at Houston right now. look at Miami, I could see him getting on a 53. He could be a guy that could be moved for a late round pick in my estimation.
Yeah, definitely. I went with five receivers, Gino. I went with Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Aguilar, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and Mac Hollins. Again, I think they're going to need more depth at defense to start the year off. So I think a Greg Ward Jr., a Mark and Michelle, those kind of players, Carlton Agudosi, aren't going to be as valuable to the team right away as some of the defensive players. And with that, also to tight end, I mean, when you're going to use 12 personnel as much as the Eagles will, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, I had to keep a third tight end as well. So I went with Joshua Perkins, who got playing time early last year against Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and Indianapolis in the first 3 weeks. So I considered, I'm like, would they just carry Ertz and Goddard? But with how much they like to use tight ends, Perkins kind of gets in by default right here because Richard Rodgers is injured.
I tend to agree just because of your reasoning on the tight end position. I just have seen way too much out of Greg Ward this preseason.
No, I get it.
Not to want to get him on this team.
Again, this was tough, man.
I'm right there with you. It's tough cutting a team with this much depth. Greg Ward, it's a toss-up. We're going to get into special teams. Like, who's going to make the bigger impact on special teams? I believe that comes down to, do you want to keep Mac Hollins? Does Greg Ward give you enough on special teams coupled with his sixth wide receiver ability? I think he's one of the better sixth wide receivers in the league, if not fifth wide receivers. He's had a great AAF campaign, came back into the league, and has put on a show in the preseason. But is he going to be just like another DeAndre Carter or Paul Turner, right, just a flash in the pan, or can he contribute? I think the thing that hurts them is that they really wanted to keep Richard Rodgers on this team, and that injury does not help him out. Can you justify keeping Josh Perkins? I believe so, but
almost by default.
You'd have to keep him by default, really, because you're not going to rely on Rodgers and his injury. If Perkins is going to be on the field, you have to keep him, and he's done enough to deserve that. But it's going to get so ticky-tacky, and that's one of those positions. It's like, do they keep four tight ends? Do they keep three? Do they keep six wide receivers? It's going to be a difficult decision, but I like what you said in that they're going to try and invest more in that defensive line, in the defensive secondary, where they want more versatility, where they want more rotation. I believe that it would be better suited to keep a fifth defensive tackle or a fifth or sixth defensive end or safety than it would to keep that sixth wide receiver. So I agree. Would I flip out Mac Hollins for Greg Ward? Possibly, but I think wide receivers is where five wideouts is where it settles, and three tight ends to me is just – that's enough. That's more than enough.
I wanted to keep Greg Ward for sure, and – even tight end, you could argue that Perkins or Will Ty, you could have on the practice squad, and if there is an injury from Ertz or Goddard, you could get them up here. But at the same time, I feel like they're going to want to have at least three tight ends dressed. So again, by default almost, and just based on the little amount of experience he had last year, I feel like Perkins would be the third tight end right now, just because Richard Rodgers cannot stay healthy. And I needed to save some spots for the defensive side of the ball, which is battling with more injuries right now, and is going to, like you said, use rotations more. For the final position on offense, I just went with offensive line in general. I kept 10. I went with Jason Peters, so the starting line, of course, Peters, Seumalo, Kelsey, Brandon Brooks when he's healthy, and Lane Johnson. And again, I think Brooks is going to be back by the first month of the season, so he is going to be carried on the 53. And then the backups here, Andre Dillard, I think Wisniewski is going to make the team. A lot of people think he could be a surprise cut, but for me, his proven track record over the last 2 years starting at guard for the Eagles in pretty significant amount of games and his versatility tells me they're not going to, with the inexperience they have of Dillard, you know, Maialata, Matt Pryor, and Big V switching positions, I think it would still be nice to have a Wisniewski for depth. So I went with Dillard, Wisniewski, Big V, Jordan Maialata, and Matt Pryor. Those are my 10 offensive linemen. Would you change anything up front?
No, I think 10 is the way to go. And this team is built inside out, and I think 10 is the way that they wanted to. It's the way that they designed this group. I mean, you have your top five. You have the interchangeability of Wisniewski to play either guard position, but then you could toss Big V at right guard.
Exactly.
Wisniewski's snapping issues have been a big issue.
Yeah, that's been tough.
Seumalo can't snap the ball, and Herbig is just – he's just such a big question mark, but you have to keep Stefan Wisniewski for his veteran prowess, his ability to step in on any given day and be a starter if necessary.
I agree there. Big V, he's not going anywhere unless you involve him, I believe, in a player-for-player deal, mm-hmm. like a Clowney-esque deal. This team likes Big V more than a lot of us may like Big V. They like him at right guard. And
I like him more this year, to be honest, just because I've been so impressed with his move at guard.
I like him at right guard. He can actually use his power, and he doesn't have to rely on his feet, which is the big thing for him, is that his feet stink, but the functional power is there, and that's where you succeed at the guard position, is when you can get into those tight areas and use your physical ability. And he's looked pretty good. I can't even lie about that. But, yes, Matt Pryor, he's definitely that guy that they want to keep as that emergency swing guy that plays a lot of positions on that mm-hmm. line. Mailata is still going to be their project. And I like everything you said, Lou. I think that's the five you go with. And Dillard, we're not even going to mention him, obviously, because he's the future. Stunned. He's just going to – it's a red shirt year for him unless Jason Peters gets hurt.
All right, we're going to take another break here. When we come back, I got my defensive side of the ball, cutting it down to 53. Guys, if you're into the NFL as much as Gino and myself are, not just the Eagles, you got to check out the new Locked On NFL. It's on fire. This past month, they had the most listens to any NFL show, with the expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL, with Matt's unique take on the game. Follow Locked On NFL now on your favorite podcast provider. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are wrapping up this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles, cutting the roster down from 90 to 53. Coach wants to see you. Bring your playbook. Got to be the most daunting phrase of any player right now on the bubble. So for the defensive side of the ball, we got to cut it down. Once again, we got to get to 53 here. We went with offense in segment two. Gino, I start with defensive end. I kept more than maybe the Eagles are used to. I went with six. And look, you had to cut a guy you just traded for in this scenario, and in Eli Harold, I actually had end up getting removed just based on how much Sharif Miller and Deshaun Hall have showed this preseason and their youth and their promise and the fact that you just spent a fourth-round pick on Miller. So I think you got to keep him. And Josh Sweat, I still think they're going to, while he might have lost the fourth spot to Deshaun Hall, they're still going to assign a roster spot for Sweat for sure. So those three are on the back end. And then you have your, you know, top three with Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, and Vinny Curry. I couldn't bring myself in. This is why I didn't keep like an extra running back or receiver. I couldn't bring myself to cut Hall, Sweat, or Miller here.
I don't think the team is going to find a way to do that either. I believe that they'll keep six there. And a lot goes into what I've mentioned a couple times over the past month or so, is that they are going to take Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett and Vinny Curry and swing them inside from play to play. They're going to run that NASCAR package. Look at Brandon Graham's strip sack against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. He did it from the inside. They love moving their edge defenders inside. So do you keep your edge defenders? Do you keep more of them and have more functionality and more optionality there and have six of them as opposed to keeping five defensive tackles? That's where my head is at right now. If you're going to go with six defensive ends, you're keeping four DTs, and I only think there are four DTs that really deserve to be on this team.
Yep, I only had four.
And I think there's six defensive ends that all have played very well. Josh Sweat, if we weren't matching him up against Deshaun Hall in like a player versus player comparison and solely breaking down Josh Sweat, he's played pretty well this preseason.
Yeah.
But we kind of have a bad taste in our mouth because he is going up against this freak of a player right now in Deshaun Hall, who is wreaking havoc across every game that he's played. And Josh Sweat's performance kind of goes by the wayside. He's looked more explosive. He's looked better in the run game, and he could get around the edge. He's one of the only guys that is really a bender at that edge position, and I think they really like that in him. And I can't see them getting rid of Sharif Miller or him after 2 years. It just doesn't make any sense the way that this team builds.
And yeah, you got to develop them still.
If they don't keep Deshaun Hall, there's just no justice in the NFL.
Right, I agree, 100%. It would be like, I mean, you see it, though. Like, Steven Means was a player that, I mean, he was with the roster for a couple years, but last year in the preseason, he was pretty strong. And if I'm not mistaken, they didn't end up keeping Means, right? Or did they?
And he went to Atlanta.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, we'll see. But again, Deshaun Hall, to me, has been too good. And with the uncertainty at defensive end four, which is not a position I'm really overly concerned about, but nonetheless, with Miller and Sweat still being projects, it would be nice to keep a guy like Hall, who is producing right now at a pretty high clip. Again, PFF's top defensive player so far throughout the preseason. So like you said, only keeping four defensive tackles here, I cut Hassan Ridgeway, so I went with Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, Timmy Jernigan, and Trayvon Hester. I think that's pretty safe that that's kind of the route they're going to go with here.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I'd say that Ridgeway is the only question mark to make of the team.
Mm-hmm.
A seventh-round pick was given up for him. Is it worth keeping a guy who's just looked very just rigid, doesn't have like much bend in his knees, he just doesn't have as much functional power as I would like compared to a guy like Trayvon Hester? I mean, even Azeez Chetu and Kevin Wilkins have been making some plays that I'm looking at Ridgeway, and it's like, where are you? Where is Ridgeway making these plays? You're not seeing his name called. When you go back and look at the tape, you see it. Like, he's just, as opposed to the other guys, he's just the odd man out, in my opinion. And Hester graded out very well last year. He looked good in the preseason, and your top three guys aren't going anywhere. So I'm going to keep four there, and then I'm going to toss Barnett and Graham on the inside every so often and just keep everybody fresh. But the four guys that you're going to have all have very, very good first steps, and that's exactly what they want in penetration through the A, B, and C gaps right there.
So we got three more positions here. Again, had to reserve three spots for Jake Elliott, Cameron Johnston, and Ricky Lovato. So I went with five linebackers. Again, Kamu Grugier-Hill practiced with the team for the majority of the summer. He cannot go in the PUP. So I went with Nigel Bradham, Kamu Grugier-Hill, Zach Brown, LJ Fort, and Nate Geary. So I kept five here. And you look at Bradham's beat up. Kamu is beat up right now. They need bodies at linebacker right now. So I think heading into week one, we'll see if Bradham ends up playing. He might be closer to week two or a week three debut, although they still are holding out hope that he can participate against the Redskins. But regardless, you're probably going to have Zach Brown, LJ Fort, and Nate Geary heading into week one. And I'm not really concerned about that, Gino, because I'm confident that Zach Brown and LJ Fort can be your two linebackers that are actually on the field for a good amount of time for the first couple weeks of the season, unless Bradham again does come back earlier than I expect.
All right, this is where we're going to differ a little bit.
Okay.
I don't think there's any way that Nate Geary makes his team.
I think Jim Schwartz really, like, again, and maybe not based on performance, but I think he's a Jim Schwartz guy.
That's the only way I see it, but you can't look at what he's done in the last couple years and then look what he's done this preseason as opposed to a guy in TJ Edwards, who is a UDFA, and Alex Singleton, who was competing for a Grey Cup last year. They've outplayed Nathan Geary without a doubt. It's just the way it is. You look at both of their stats, you look at both of their production, you look at both special teams play, they have both outperformed Nate Geary. But do they even keep more than four linebackers? I would say yes. I say five is the perfect number. I wouldn't solidify Geary to be that option. LJ Fort is clearing away the number four, and he can play meaningful minutes, and there's a reason they brought him into town. It just, who's going to be the special teams guy? I feel like this is one of those special teams players. Is your sixth wide receiver your special teams guy? Is your fifth linebacker your special teams guy? Or is your whatever number defensive back going to be your special teams guy? And that's what I think this is going to be. So who do they like out of the three? I think it could be any one of them. Geary, like you said, has Jim Schwartz's backing. But Edwards and Singleton have put up numbers, and they've looked very well. I've liked both of their games so far. They're very good tacklers, both of them, and surprisingly have decent speed for being in the NFL for the first year for both of them.
So another reason I couldn't keep an extra running back, defensive tackle, receiver is had to go six corners here, and you're keeping six on the roster. My prediction is Jalen Mills will get placed on the regular season PUP, so he'll be out for at least the first 6 weeks. You can evaluate Sidney Jones and or Rasul Douglas further. He could be ready before week one, but I doubt it's going to happen just based on the weirdness of this injury. And at the same time, Craven LeBlanc, who you cannot put on the list, is going to have to take up a spot here. So you have to keep at least five healthy corners. So Darby, Avante Maddox, Sidney Jones, and Rasul Douglas round out your top four. LeBlanc gets a roster spot. And then that sixth spot right here, while Mills is out for seemingly the first week, month and a half of the season, you're going to go with Orlando Scandrick, although that's not a player I really want to touch the field. You got to keep at least a fifth healthy body here, knowing how many corners dropped like flies in 2018.
Especially the role that he's going to be playing, and he's going to play that Craven LeBlanc role, that interchangeable nickel corner. He's not going to be getting outside corner reps. We know that, but that fifth corner that you have right now, and we'll take Jalen Mills out of the equation until he's healthy, but that fifth corner is going to be that slot guy, and that's what Craven LeBlanc would have done, and they brought in Orlando Scandrick for that exact purpose. And as long as the other guys stay healthy, we really shouldn't have to worry about him getting on the field. But I like you said, Lou, I'm not a big Orlando Scandrick fan myself. I don't really want to see him taking minutes. But, hey, we're going to have big years from Avante Maddox. We're going to have big years from Jones and Douglas and Darby. And I think this secondary is finally going to grow into their own. And we've just been waiting, and we finally have been seeing glimpses of it. Look at Sidney Jones, how great he's been doing in practices, both just for the Eagles and then the joint practices in the preseason games as well. Maddox is looking good. Rasul has had – he's looked good, but he's had some hiccups, of course. But Darby's going to step into his own as well. I like this group now, Lou. I think there's a lot of optionality, and that's the thing we continue to talk about with this team, optionality. You're going to be able to move a lot of these guys and create matchups. Put Maddox on your shiftier, smaller corners at times. Put Jones on guys that you want to man up. Put Rasul on your bigger receivers. And then let Darby, if you want him to be the number one or just to own his side, let him do his thing and let him be that number one that you paid him to be. Because right now, the money that he's making, he is your number one cornerback.
All right. Safety is the final position here. And I could only keep four, again, just because it's a numbers game, and you can't. I wanted to keep five or six of each position, but had to prioritize. Mm-hmm. Look, and it can always change. I mean, when seemingly some of these linebackers get healthier, some of these corners, things will change for sure. But right now, I could only keep four safeties, so I went with Malcolm Jenkins, Rodney McLeod, Anderson Dejo. I think they really like as that third safety. I think that's the way they're going to go with that route. And then I had Jonathan Cyprian as my fourth. Would you – again, I tried to find a way to keep a fifth safety. I couldn't get it done here.
Yeah, see, this is where I would trade out that fifth linebacker and toss in the fifth safety, because – what I've been reading on Rudy Ford in his special teams prowess is that they really like him and they really think he could be a key contributor there. So I think he's a guy who could surprisingly take that role on of Blake Countess, which they expected him to be when they brought him in here. Unfortunately, went down with an injury, but I don't think they're in love with Trey Sullivan. DeAndre Hall hasn't developed into what they thought he could be, and Ford they just brought in, and Peterson has talked highly of him, and people around the organization have talked highly of him. From what I have read, and he's a guy that I think could sneak onto this roster and be that special teams guy that I mentioned prior. Is he going to be your fifth safety? Is it going to be your fifth linebacker? I think this is one because they want to go heavier at the defensive back position and have more options there because they're stepping away from this base defense mentality since they're only playing it a quarter of the time, and keeping five guys there is ideal because you're going to interchange them just as much as you do your defensive line, and you're going to get guys on the field like Cyprian, and you're going to have Sendejo on the field, and those guys are going to take big snaps. So if one of them goes down, you need a fifth option to toss in there because they are going to play minutes. And who do you like? Do you like Sullivan? I'm not in love with the idea of keeping Trey around. I think I've seen just enough out of him over the past couple years to just – out of sight, out of mind with him. I just want him off of this team and give a guy a chance like Rudy Ford. Or is DeAndre Hall going to step into his own? What can they do? But, yeah, I'm right there with you, Lou. I think those four that you mentioned are solid locks, and this is going to be that one of those question mark positions. I think there are three question mark positions, that fifth safety, the fifth linebacker, and then wide receiver. I think those are the three big ones in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you that like they are going to use more corners and safeties this year on defense, much like they have been the past couple years in linebacker. And while you could, just for me, like I would rather keep five safeties than five linebackers, but if Bradham doesn't play the first week or two and Camus is already out, are you willing to go in with just two healthy linebackers in Zach Brown and LJ Ford? I mean, for me, I could see it and use a guy like Malcolm Jenkins and Jonathan Cyprian and Anderson Dejo heavily as that kind of hybrid guy, considering that's what you're going to do a lot. You're going to play big nickel and dime. You're going to play heavily secondary-based packages. It's just, for me, would the team be willing to only carry two healthy linebackers? So that was where I kind of went back and forth, because I agree with you philosophically on that, but I just it's the health thing here. Are they willing to go in with just two healthy traditional linebackers?
Yeah, that's a good point. But like we said, optionality. They always have Malcolm Jenkins who can hop down
they
there
do.
And be that third linebacker. So like I said, like I always say, like you have said to me, what is our one key phrase that we always use on this show? Linebackers do not matter. So I'm not going to keep more than I need to. and I'm going to keep Moore at the position which they have been going towards, and that's safety. And I truly believe that they'll keep five. That's just my opinion, but we all look at it a different way, and I'm sure there's going to be some shock guys that make the team and some shock cuts, and that's what happens when you have 65 guys who should be on an NFL roster.
I agree, and it's going to be interesting, Gino. Again, it wasn't easy cutting some of these players, for sure, but that's a really good thing, is that the Eagles have depth on this 90-man roster, which they got to cut down to 53. For our listeners out there, if you agree or disagree, hit us up on Twitter, at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, or at Gino_LOE, or the comment section on LockedOnEagles.com. If you're not subscribed to the show already, please do so you get 4 to 5 podcasts a week during the season, and all year round, downloaded into your phone on any podcast provider. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Louis DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.